Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Jason Powell here with a review of the WWE Raw show that aired on Monday, April 16th, 2012. The show was actually taped in London, England earlier in the day, so this was not a live edition of Raw. Before we get into the show, let me get a couple of quick plugs out of the way. First of all, if you like free audio, check out today's PW Torch livecast over at blogtalkradio.com. 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. I am on with Wade Keller of The Torch, and usually pretty much just about every Tuesday I'm on the PW Torch livecast. Your phone calls are welcome during the live portion of the show, which runs for 1 hour. Again, it's 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern over at blogtalkradio.com. And if you want more audio and also the ability to correspond with other .NET members, sign up for .NET membership. Very simple and easy to do, very affordable. If you want to sign up for a full year, the rates start as low as $5.50 a month. If you want to just try it out for a month, $7.50, and you get ad-free access to ProWrestling.net, access to the members forum, the first look at .NET news, and hours of new audio, including a recent 100-minute audio interview that I did with Krista Joseph, a.k.a. Big Dick Johnson, and Chris Roach, both former WWE creative team members. Seth Mate stopped by, another former WWE creative team member, for the WrestleMania 28 audio review that Chris Shore and I did along with Seth. And also recent interviews include Dragon Gate USA booker Gabe Sapolsky, Dragon Gate USA manager Larry Dallas, and Chris Shore's interview with our former ROH champion Eddie Edwards, and just other additional interviews, former WWE creative team member Court Bauer, former TNA creative team member who's now back with the company in some capacity with Ringcock King, Dutch Mantel. Chris Jericho has been on the .NET member site for an interview, was it last summer or previous summer? Conan, Dawn Marie, Sinister Minister, Jim Mitchell, Brock Lesnar, and the list goes on. So if you're interested, and also just incredible, Shane Helms, a couple more that come to mind. So if you are interested, again, just head on over to ProWrestling.net. You can't miss the sign-up area. It's right there on the right side of your screen. And for those price points I gave you, you can have access to all the perks. And by the way, not just interviews. We review all the major pay-per-view events and television shows in audio form. In fact, I just did an hour discussing the TNA lockdown pay-per-view from Sunday night. Got a little bit carried away. Maybe cussed and swore a little bit more than I intended to going into that show. Just a little bit frustrated with that show, as I think a lot of people were. But we do review all the major pay-per-view events and, again, television shows as well for WWE Raw, WWE SmackDown, which you can hear here on the All Access side of things with Chris Shore and Jake Barnett. And Will Pruitt reviewing the TNA Impact Wrestling television show on a weekly basis as well. Some of those end up on the free side. But a lot of them end up also on the member site. Plus, Chris Shore and I get together for the .NET Weekly audio show and analyze all the news of the week. We break a lot of news in that show as well. And my Q&A audio session on usually either Friday or Monday afternoon, where I'll take member questions for an hour or so. Most of it is pro wrestling related, and the last 15 minutes to, well, sometimes a half hour can be non-wrestling mayhem. We just have a good time with it. But I try to keep the two separate, so you only care about wrestling, that's all you have to listen to. But having said all that, let's get into the show for Monday. Again, London, England, and it was a good London crowd. I mean, London, I just UK in general, just seems like a very wrestling-savvy, very wrestling-hungry group of fans, and they're very vocal for TNA shows, and WWE is no exception either. They were really into this. Daniel Bryan, I think, probably the most over guy on the entire show. And he wasn't on there. Well, I guess he did that longer match. I was going to say he wasn't on there very much, but I forgot about the match, which was pretty good. And overall, this was a pretty good show. We got a good CM Punk and Mark Henry match. We got that good Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston match, which was pretty entertaining. We got an upset. John Cena losing in the main event again. That's right. John Cena loses at WrestleMania clean to The Rock. This time, not exactly clean, but all is fair. In an Extreme Rules match, as the announcers were quick to point out. So Lord Tensai, this time beating John Cena. And so I think they're doing a little bit of a story with Cena where, you heard him allude to it on Raw, where he's talking about, is WrestleMania 28 the end of his era? And I think ultimately this all leads to John Cena Coming back strong. I think we're going to see a redemption story. He'll get this win back against Tensai eventually. He'll get the win back, you know, against The Rock is my guess. At WrestleMania 29, maybe. That's my guess. If I had to guess right now, I say Cena goes in as champion, Rock as challenger, and that's how they get back to that. And it's not going to surprise me a bit if Cena loses to Brock Lesnar also, coming up at Extreme Rules. By the way, they did say that match is going to be an Extreme Rules match. So basically, anything goes, no DQ, no count out, that kind of stuff. Extreme Rules is coming together nicely. They've only advertised three matches thus far. Lesnar, Cena, Punk and Jericho in a Chicago street fight for the WWE Championship, and Sheamus defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Daniel Bryan in a best of three falls match. Those are three pretty damn good matches to advertise. So, I mean, I'm curious to see what the undercard looks like, but boy, you know, had you told me that a month ago when all the focus was on WrestleMania, you're going to look forward to that Extreme Rules pay-per-view quite a bit. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. Yeah, it's a bunch of WrestleMania rematches. And granted, two of them are, but they're two pretty damn good matches. And then you throw in Cena and Lesnar to boot, and this doesn't just feel like the annual WrestleMania rematch show that let's get this over with and move on to some new feuds. This is looking pretty good. But let's start with from the top of the show, work our way through. Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler on commentary. The opening match was CM Punk beating Mark Henry to retain the WWE Championship in 13 minutes and 10 seconds. This was really good. I mean, Henry isn't the type of guy that can go out there and just have a five-star classic. He's not. But when he's in there with an opponent that can bump around for him, he can do his thing. I mean, he's all about the power and everything. And when they focus on that and make him seem like a badass, it works. And it did here because Punk was willing to bump all over the place for him. There was good, back and forth exchanges of teases of signature spots for both men, and the other guy would counter or, avoid it altogether. And so the match really worked for me. And I also, the live crowd added a lot to this as well, just being as into Punk as they were. The yes chants also for this match, too, when Punk was delivering a series of elbows to the head of Henry, I think it was. After each elbow, they were yelling, yes, yes, yes. Just an example of, of Henry avoiding Punk's move. Like, he went for a bulldog, and Henry just pushed him off. There was a cool spot at ringside, too, where Punk, jumps off the apron onto Henry, who catches him and just flings him. I think it was Cole or Lawler, one of the two, who said it was like a rag doll into the guardrail or the barricade, if you will. And, that's the perfect description, because that's what it was like. He just flung him right into the rail, and it was pretty impressive there. Ultimately, because it was a no DQ, no countout match, Punk was able to use a chair, which he went up to the top rope, and instead of just performing a regular elbow drop, this time he did it with a chair, and that's how he put Mark Henry away to retain the championship. The series of matches they've had on Raw now, this is the third one. The first two were kind of, especially last week was so short and whatever, but, I like the way they've kind of built this up over the last couple of weeks on TV to get to this point, even if, what we saw last week was pretty throwaway. They got us to this point, and they delivered a pretty good match, a strong television match to cap things off. And, I don't think Henry was too damaged here. He definitely had his moments, and one little thing, when Punk and Jericho were doing their thing, I wish there would have been a little bit of an acknowledgement from Punk about, just kind of putting over Henry to try to give him his heat back a little bit. He did talk about beating the world's strongest man, but it was kind of, if I was able to do that to him, just think about what I'm going to be able to do to you in a promo exchange with Jericho. Little thing. And it's not just Punk. I'd like to see this happen more often with guys they're trying to protect that end up losing clean. But he's Henry. He's going to bounce back fine, I'm sure, if they, as long as creative stays behind him, they can make him out to be a dominant badass again. One loss to the world champion isn't going to change that. So Chris Jericho does appear on the big screen, and he made the announcement that it's going to be a Chicago street fight at Extreme Rules. And then he sets up video footage of CM Punk entering a pub in London just hours before the show. And then the footage showed Punk leaving the pub, kind of looking around a little bit, and then covering up his head with the hoodie top that he had on. And Jericho questioned what he was doing there. Were you drinking? And he asked him if he was drunk now. Punk said he's straight edge, but that doesn't mean he can't go to a bar and enjoy some fish and chips with a friend. And Jericho said he's making excuses, just like his father. And he gloated that Punk was going to lose the only thing left, the WWE Championship. And Punk was about to return fire, but Jericho just disappeared from the big screen. So Punk really couldn't talk to anyone. So that ended that. This was good. Even going into WrestleMania, coming out of WrestleMania through last week, I was just like, I'm just not feeling it here. I mean, I enjoy watching Jericho and Punk wrestle, but Jericho just doesn't seem like a threat to the championship. I don't know. There's just something about tonight clicked for me, or last night, if you will, with these two that, not that I'm suddenly just, hooked on everything, but it was a step in the right direction. They really are doing a good job of making Jericho out to be this worm that you want to see Punk get revenge on. And I think it's really going to play well to the Chicago crowd. I don't know if this match in particular sells a lot of pay-per-views. Maybe it does, just because of that revenge factor. I think it would sell more if people thought there was a chance they were going to see a title change. Personally, I'm not ruling it out. It's Jericho and Punk, and they like, both guys, especially being, students of the game and very, savvy wrestlers, long veterans, they want to keep people guessing. And wouldn't that surprise a lot of people if Punk lost the title in his hometown? Something to keep in mind. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not making any official prediction. Just saying that, and maybe I'm guilty of overthinking it, but just saying it's a possibility at least, right? So we go from there to, commercial break first, and then we got R-Truth doing some awful Sherlock Holmes bit backstage, and he was talking to Little Jimmy as if he was Watson, and he said he was going to find Teddy Long a job, and Long said that was the best news he'd heard all month. They did like two more of these. None of them were funny. Nobody really laughed, yet I had this image of Vince McMahon just belly laughing at the gorilla position, and one or more writers just standing there with a big, proud smile on his face. Not that anyone else liked it, but Vince did. And so that's all that seems to matter. I'm assuming Vince liked it, because I don't know who else they would write this for, which is sad. I mean, that's your job in WWE, is to write for one man, not your audience, but Vince McMahon. But I don't want to get too negative on it. Those skits were awful, but there was a lot to like about this show. So we'll keep plugging along here. Second match was Santino Marella defeating David Otunga to retain the U.S. title in like 2 minutes and 10 seconds was all. Santino was pinned at one point, but he had his foot on the ropes and he came back with the Cobra and got the win. Do we really need the Cobra cover? Are they selling those things? I don't see them like in the crowd or anything. We've seen Mr. Sacco and everything, and I don't know, I can live with the Cobra, but that whole arm covering thing that the Cobra cover thing kind of annoys me. Maybe it's just me. We went backstage where Josh Matthews tried to interview Lord Tensai and Sakamoto. Tensai cut off Sakamoto from speaking in Japanese just by raising his hand. That's one obedient bitch. Everyone needs a good obedient bitch. I need like a manservant. God, that'd be great. Just raise your hand and he stops talking. I can live with that. I wish my girlfriend obeyed like that, but that's never going to happen. So Lord knows I've tried. That'll never happen. If anything, she raises her hand and I stop talking. That's how I roll. Tensai said, people fear the unknown and he knows what you should fear. And that was it. It's like, all right, I guess it's a little bit of a progression with the character that he spoke once. Now we know he will speak, and Sakamoto character isn't like his mouthpiece, because so far we've only heard him speak in Japanese. But at this point, I was kind of like, I guess a small step forward, but it's still Tensai. We'll see if I'll let you know if my opinion on him changed. The show went on, but Cole hyped a big Brock Lesnar interview, and they actually showed footage of it. Lesnar says, he was asked what's going through Cena's mind, or he asked what's going through Cena's mind, and he said, what's more important is what's running down his leg. Piss, beep. They had, I assume this was probably recorded last week at some point, since I can't imagine Brock Lesnar made the trip to London. So they had a week to queue up the bleep to, you know, censor that. And conveniently, you heard piss. Maybe technically, I didn't go back to listen to it. Maybe you heard just puh. But either way, they had a week to censor that if they really wanted to. And I, don't get me wrong, I'm not bitching. I'm not Mr. PC. I'm not, I mean, granted, they claim to be a PG show, and lately they've certainly pushed that. But I did find that pretty funny, that a whole week, presumably, to get this right, and conveniently, you let that slide. Probably not a bad move. The announcer's hype of the WrestleMania 28 buy rate record. Keep in mind, these are preliminary numbers, 1.3 million buys for WrestleMania 28, topping, I think it was WrestleMania 23, the Trump one. Well, let's see if it stays that way once they get the hard numbers in. Could go up, you know, but there's a chance it could go down also. So these are just preliminary numbers at this point. And eventually, because they're a publicly traded company, they're going to have to reveal what that final number is. So either they're going to look, you know, hey, we did what we said we did, or it's going to be kind of embarrassing when they have to say, well, it wasn't as high as we thought. But footage of Brock Lesnar's sit-down interview were shown. Actually, the whole thing. They had, like, clips from his career kind of intertwined and whatnot. And this was well done. And he said he's not back because he missed the fans. He said at the end of the day, I don't care about anybody but Brock Lesnar. To me, this is strictly business. We need a guy to legitimize this company, and Brock Lesnar is that guy. We're tired of John Cena's bull crap. John Cena is not the real guy, and the only reason John is in that spot is because I left. He said, if I was still around for the last 8 years, John Cena is the guy that would be carrying my bags into the building. He said, there's nothing about Brock Lesnar that is fake, as was evident last week when I took John Cena down and busted his mouth open. This is real. And he went into the piss line again, and then we got to, this isn't a wrestling match on April 29th. This is an Extreme Rules match. I have one objective in mind, to bring pain to John Cena. I'm not a superstar. I'm an ass kicker. I'm Brock Lesnar. What makes me happy? Beating people up. That makes me happy. Well done. I think if you read my hit list last week, or if you're a member listening to this and you listened to my audio last week, or you listened to the live cast last week, you know how frustrated I was with the follow-up. I loved week one. I loved the pull-apart brawl last week. But I felt like it should have ended with that pull-apart brawl. I didn't need, you know, Brock Lesnar doing a bad scripted promo backstage like he did. I didn't need him appearing later in the show. It just felt like it was too much, and they crammed too many chapters into one show. This week, we didn't get corny, you know, acting Brock Lesnar backstage. We got kind of a UFC countdown style sit down interview where, not like he was being interviewed, where you heard, you know, you saw the face or even heard the interviewer, but it was Brock kind of in that UFC element, and what he said worked. I thought they really did a good job of getting this back on track tonight, and it wasn't just Lesnar, it was also John Cena, which we'll talk about here in a little bit once we get to that point, but this was really well done. I like this a lot. I didn't think of it last week, but hell, I wish they would have done this from the start. You know, it would have been great if Paul Heyman was part of this. I don't know. Maybe he will be at some point, but right now he's not. I think it would be cool if Heyman did the talking for Lesnar. And the only time you heard from Lesnar was in segments like this, where it's just that UFC style. And he refuses to talk otherwise. Some of the legitimacy talk doesn't do much for me. And just because he's going so aggressively at Cena, you know, he'd be carrying my bags and all this. I just assume Cena, in the long run, is the one who comes out on top of this feud. He's the guy who's going to be with the company, presumably, where Lesnar's got a one-year deal. But I think they can tell their losing streak story with Cena. Not even a streak so much as just, you know, questioning, boy, you know, has he lost something? And he's even heard the announcers talk about it on the show where they were, I don't remember if it was Lawler or Cole, kind of questioning, you know, as he recovered from that WrestleMania loss. He talked about how that match was everything to him. Is he ever going to be the same? More like that. You know, I mean, Cena, they try to position him as this underdog, and thanks to Machine Gun Kelly, we all know what the definition of an underdog is now. Thanks, jackass. But it never rings true, because he's John Cena, and he beats everyone and overcomes all odds to the point that when they claim the odds are against him, we know they're not. It just doesn't seem that way. And now it's like you make him look a little vulnerable. That's not a bad thing. They've been afraid to do it for so long. It's not a bad thing at all. I think it generates more interest in Cena. It makes his matches seem a little more interesting that, wow, Superman can be beaten. And not just by The Rock and not just by maybe Lesnar, but as we saw tonight, Tensai. You know, I mean, that's storytelling. That Cena's got to fight his way back from something. He's not just the guy smirking and smiling all the time. This guy's going to actually have some ups and downs. That's good storytelling. That's what's a big thing that's been missing from John Cena's act. And so I hope they don't just wreck it all by having Cena overcome and win in Extreme Rules and everything goes back to normal for John Cena. I don't think that's the plan. Based on what they're saying right now, but it's WWE, and you can't rule out anything, really. So then we got entrances from Zack Ryder and Kane. They went to a commercial, and we came back. We got, Kane beating up Zack Ryder, but technically the match never started. This is actually what I was kind of worried TNA was going to do at the lockdown pay-per-view when they had Storm and Rude brawling outside the cage for so long. I'm like, are they going to come up with some reason why, you know, if Storm's too beaten to do the match, or, you know, some reason they can't do it and piss off this live crowd. And I thought that because it was like, I don't think they want to put the title on Storm. It doesn't feel like it's time, but they also don't want to just piss off the pay-per-view audience, the Nashville hometown crowd for Storm and the company. And, well, they did. But, you know, read my hit list for more thoughts on that, I guess. We'll try to stick to WWE here. But what they did here was just Kane beat him up. And when he rolled him back inside the ring, the ref just wouldn't call for the bell. So Kane chokeslammed him. That was it. So no real match here, I guess. Kane took the mic and talked about the joyful family reunion between Orton and his father, Bob, on SmackDown. And said he expected Orton's old man to go down with the fight, but he never thought Randy would be so easy. Kane was getting the what treatment from the crowd. And I couldn't blame them. More on that in a second. He said, it's true what they say, like father, like son. And he has that pause in there, that delivery, that he's like a cliche 80s horror movie guy. I mean, I compared him to Freddy Krueger. There's even a little bit of bad action hero lines in here. He's always got these just cheesy lines that he throws out that, I mean, you would expect to hear Freddy Krueger say back in, you know, some of the really bad Nightmare on Elm Street movies they did. Not all of them were, but there were a lot of them that were pretty bad. You know, just those one-liners, and they don't work. And I mean, I don't think Kane should be talking. I think they need to get a new mask that doesn't look so tired and worn. And I mean, I get what they're going for, but it makes him look tired and worn, and they expose his big chin, and it's just, Cover up the face entirely and have this guy come up with a reason why he goes silent. Let someone else do the talking. Because when Kane comes out there and he's badass Kane, beating the hell out of Zack Ryder, that works. When he's working hard and surprises people and beats Randy Orton in WrestleMania, that works. When he opens his mouth and starts with the cliche, just, cornball lines, and he gets the what chance, there's a reason. And I know that, you know, the crowds gave Undertaker the what chance, and it wasn't deserved. But, again, in this case, I just can't blame him. It's, you know, Kane is a pretty tired character, and he doesn't have to be. I mean, I think the days of Kane being in the main event picture as a serious contender or even a champion should be over. But it doesn't mean you can't still have, you know, get something out of him more than they are right now. With the current incarnation, the current look of this character. I mean, I'm happy they went back to the mask, but I'm not crazy about the mask selection or just the look of this character. I think it's holding him back. Daniel Bryan interrupted Kofi Kingston and AJ having a casual conversation backstage, and he wasn't happy, even though he's not with AJ. Doesn't mean someone else can be, essentially, is what he said. He announced that he was changing the name from the LaBelle Lock to the Yes Lock. And he said that when the rep asks Kingston if he wants to quit, he will be screaming, yes, 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 yes. This went on for a while. I'm not even doing it justice. And, you know, Kingston kind of jawed at him a little, but I did feel bad for him. It's like, at some point, wouldn't you just bitch slap him? So they kind of made Kofi look like a doofus for standing there. Like I said, he jawed at him a little. He didn't just have to stand there and look at him the whole time, but but the crowd loved it. I mean, this live crowd was a Daniel Bryan loving crowd. It just insanely into this guy. So they totally loved it. But yeah, I mean, it was cool. I mean, I like the change. You know, I mean, Gene LaBelle. I guess it's nice to play. You know, to pay tribute, I should say, to history a little bit. But how many fans out there know or care or have even bothered to look up, well, who's this Gene LaBelle guy? So give it something that, you know, fits with the character. And certainly, yes, the yes lock fits with that character. And I love the line about that's what he's going to be saying once it's applied. Yes, yes, yes. In terms of, yes, I submit. So then we get a tease for John Cena's segment. We go to commercial. SmackDown's ad focused on Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. They didn't advertise anything for that show. It was just kind of a generic ad featuring those two guys. So I don't know if WWE has figured that out yet, or they didn't take the time to do a commercial. And there's always a chance I miss the second commercial. They like to play two of these. Sometimes the first one's generic, and the second one will advertise something specific. But I don't think I missed it tonight. John Cena came out, and I looked at his wrist while he was standing on the stage and looked into the camera and said, I guess it's time to get hostile. I never care much for this whole John Cena look into the camera moment thing. I was like, well, he said he's about to get hostile. Let's see where he goes with this. Granted, I knew because, you know, I try to watch the show, like a show like this when it's taped and I already know the spoilers. You know, I mean, you can't just erase everything from your mind, but at the same time, try to, like, keep in mind that others haven't seen it and try to think of it as you're seeing it with fresh eyes as much as you can. So, I mean, I knew where it was going, but still just hearing him say hostile, it's like, oh, all right, maybe there's something going on here. That would have been my reaction is what I'm trying to say had I not known what was coming. And I liked what ended up, what the end result was. He was tying Lesnar and Laurinaitis together by suggesting that the general manager wants to replace him. I think, you know, when Lesnar was talking about earlier in his promo, he never came out and said Laurinaitis specifically, but I think that's who he was referring to as well. Not crazy about that still, but this week they did a little bit better job of it where it's not Lesnar, you know, happy to be buddy-buddy with John Laurinaitis who brought him back. And I mean, it looked to me like I kept waiting for a Punk and Laurinaitis match. Now it looks like Cena's, you know, Laurinaitis is Vince McMahon to Cena Steve Austin or something. And Lesnar's kind of the hired gun. I mean, it's not exactly the same thing, but I just don't like Laurinaitis being completely attached to Lesnar. Now, if they want to make Laurinaitis a little more serious, fine. But when he's doing that people power, that routine and the big insincere smile, it can be funny. It can be entertaining. I just don't think it's a good fit with what they're trying to do with Brock. But Cena, after that point, said he realizes that his era may have ended at WrestleMania 28, and he will stand face-to-face with the man who wants to replace him. And he recalled Lesnar claiming that he was afraid. He's right, he said, but he said he'd still fight. And he said after a year of someone plugging movies, shaking hands, and talking about wanting to put on a good show, now he's facing someone set on destruction. So a little shot at The Rock, keep that going a little bit. I think you'll hear a lot of that if indeed the plan is ultimately to go to Cena and Rock again at WrestleMania 29. Just, you know, keep it in the back of people's minds and keep, you know, just keep it kind of a little bit fresh for people. But Cena said fear can be overcome. And even if he's willing or even if he is walking in to take the biggest ass whooping of his life, he will still fight. John Laurinaitis' music played. And we got the people power line and, he said he's happy that Cena wants to fight and therefore he would fight someone in the main event in an Extreme Rules match, but he said he wouldn't tell him who because that would make it more exciting. But I mean, you know, this wasn't like, the longest Cena promo and it didn't have to be. I like that he acknowledged that he's a little fearful of Lesnar. It makes Lesnar seem like a bigger deal. as he should. You know, I mean, if there's anyone for Cena to say, I'm a little bit fearful of this guy, well, it would be Lesnar. I mean, it's Brock freaking Lesnar, the guy who was, for a while there, dubbed the baddest man on the planet in UFC. The former UFC heavyweight champion. And hell, even if he's not, if it's just the WWE world, let's say he never went to UFC, just was returning after an 8-year break that he, where he went home and did some farming work or whatever, as WWE was hoping he'd do. Still the, you know, big badass Brock Lesnar, former WWE champion. I mean, that's his gimmick. He's the ultimate monster in WWE in some ways. And so no shame in that. And all this talk about how he's going to fight, I mean, that plays to the underdog bit a little bit. You know, him talking about how he's afraid, but he's still going to fight. That's something fans can get behind. And I had a couple of correspondents who were at the show in London, both said, and it was a mostly anti-Cena crowd. It was like 70-30 anti-Cena by their estimate. Didn't always come across that way on television, but they're in the building. I'm going to listen to them more so than, you know, speakers on my TV. And they said that it looked like Cena won some people over with this promo. And I can see why. I really can. This is what I want to see more out of from Cena. Not the smirking John Cena. And I'm not referring to the smile that he flashed after he had his lip split open by Lesnar. You know, that showed the blood. That made sense. I'm talking about the smirking John Cena smirks through Rock promos. The smirking John Cena who walked in the ring last week when he should have been as pissed off as he's ever been, looking to get a little revenge on Brock Lesnar, and said he smirks on the way down. He's just too happy-go-lucky. No matter what happens to him, he no-sells too much. And so when he sells in a situation like this, really, you start to pay attention. It means something. That doesn't justify all the no-selling and smirking he's done in the past, but it works out to their advantage right now. The announcers also announced that we will be getting a contract signing for the Cena and Lesnar match on the 3-hour edition of WWE Raw next week. You know, they told us, and there were some graphics, and they told us probably 2-3 times, maybe more, and there were some graphics for the show. They're going to do the same awful rating in the first hour that they always do. I mean, they really are. And when I say awful, I just mean compared to what they do for their traditional first hour. I don't know what it is. They no matter how hard they try, and they really didn't make the best effort I've seen them make tonight. It just seems like it's, you know, just the same disappointing rating for that first hour, the extra hour of that show. So I think they just kind of threw up their hands tonight, like, we're going to promote it as a 3-hour special, but we're not going to, you know, just spend the entire, we're not going to turn this into an infomercial for the next week and find out that, did the same crappy rating it usually does in that first hour. But anyhow, so that's a contract signing for next week. And so Lesnar will be there. I did look again tonight on the WWE, arena page just to see if they've advertised, Brock Lesnar for anything in May yet. Not yet. So far, he's not listed for the Over the Limit pay-per-view either. It could just be WWE is, you know, going to update those after Extreme Rules, or just haven't got around to updating them, or who knows? Maybe they're, you know, they're being conscious of, we've only got them for so many dates, and we're going to burn through a few to, you know, reintroduce them that first month, and maybe he beats Cena and disappears for a month or two, and then they can always, you know, use those dates that they save, you know, a little bit later on, and they can tell a story that Cena desperately wants to get Lesnar back in the ring. Maybe we don't see Brock again until SummerSlam, for all I know. I mean, just guessing here. Like I said, for all I know, they're going to start adding him here by tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow we start seeing him pop up. But just something new. I thought an interesting note that he's still not advertised. So anyway, from there we go to the announcers hyping the Extreme Rules a little bit in the commercial break when we came back. We got more R-Truth, Ridiculousness, Sherlock Holmes, Mode, Hornswoggle backstage with them. Truth went through some kind of secret passageway, some secret passage bookshelf bit. We're in England. We gotta, you know, come up with some famous English thing. And this time it was Sherlock Holmes. Yay, lucky us. Then it was ring entrances and the announcers hyping the World Heavyweight Championship match for Extreme Rules. And then it was time for Daniel Bryan to defeat Kofi Kingston by submission in 10:30. this was just a good match. I really enjoyed this. I mean, the crowd was really into it. WWE kind of gave in. I thought it was odd that, you know, all of a sudden Bryan's kind of like almost leading the cheers. And then Jerry Lawler pointed out, because, I mean, for a while there had been, oh, those asshole fans, they're chanting, yes, 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 they're out to get me. That was kind of Daniel Bryan's perspective on things. But this time he's cheerleading. But Lawler kind of explained that when he said, I thought Canada was bizarro land in the past, but it got nothing on this London crowd chanting yes. So, I guess now they're going to try to write off, you know, just like Miami. And, you know, internally they look at the WrestleMania crowd and that Raw crowd the next night as, I think, diehard net savvy, if you will, whatever, you know, just diehard wrestling fans. And I think they look at the London crowd the same way. And I'm guessing that they're still believing that when they come back to the United States for Raw and SmackDown next week, it's, you know, the yes chance will die down again. There's going to be some, but they, you know, not enough that it's like, oh, we need to turn this guy. And so far they've been right. I mean, it's possible this thing catches on. And, you know, I think Chicago, you're going to hear a lot of it, for instance. There's going to be some markets where it's going to be bigger than others. But, you know, if most TV shows, it's not the, you know, it's just not dominating things, maybe they don't have to give in just yet. But we did see AJ watching this on a backstage monitor. She eventually was shown smiling after Daniel Bryan got the win with, you guessed it, the yes lock. But yeah, this was good. I mean, another good television match. It was nice to see just, I mean, hell, I think we saw three pretty good wrestling matches, if you like the Cena and Tensai, which we'll get to in a little bit. But certainly two with this one and then the opening match with Punk and Henry. I know that's pretty damn good for just a Monday Night Raw television show rather than, you know, saving everything for pay-per-view. And this, so I came away pleased with the quality of wrestling we saw on this particular show. Then it was time for Brodus Clay. And he was accompanied by his dancers. He beat Dolph Ziggler, who had Vicky Guerrero and Jack Swagger with him, in 25 seconds. this one, Ziggler dropkicked Brodus. Brodus then came back with a fallaway slam, went to pull Ziggler toward the center of the ring. Swagger reached in and stopped him, held on to him long enough that the referee called for the bell. It was that simple. And then Vicky kicked one of the dancers down afterward, and Brodus, like, did his shimmy shake right in front of her, and she disappeared. And the other dancer miraculously recovered. And both dancers and Brodus then did their big dance routine, and the London crowd was into this, too. We went backstage where John Laurinaitis was telling David Otunga that if he focused as much on his career as he does on everything else he does, for him, the sky is the limit. And then Eve approached Laurinaitis about that one-on-one meeting they were supposed to have, and Laurinaitis actually called her and Otunga into the office. Like, so she's trying to, like, get, you know, manipulate Laurinaitis in a, you know, Jezebel sort of way, if you will. Sorry, that word's just permanently, like, ingrained in my mind, thanks to Dusty Rhodes from back in the baby doll days. So, yeah, I mean, he's, like, trying to get with her. I mean, it wasn't played up like he was shocked, I don't think. Like, really, he's coming too? I think they both were kind of like, okay. I don't know what they're going for there. At ringside, we have Cole and Lawler acknowledging the death of Chief J. Strongbow, and they did a. They noted that he was in the first class of the WWE Hall of Fame and played a video tribute for him. As I mentioned in my live review, you know, it's a classy move by WWE. I just wish they'd make this same classy move whenever someone of, you know, note to WWE fans passes away. I don't think it's too much to ask for. In fact, I think it's ridiculous that you can't, you know, if you die for the wrong reasons or at the wrong age, yeah, they might acknowledge it on the website, but they're not going to on television. And I know it probably doesn't make for happy moments and boost ratings, but, you know, show some class. And they did with this. And so I'm not going to spend too much time talking about this, but Umaga, you know, hello. And there's a long list of guys that they've just kind of chosen not to address on the television show, even with a quick graphic at the beginning of the show. You know, and so it just seems like you have to have been alive long enough or not died under conditions they don't want to publicize in order for you to get that that salute from the company. But hey, at least they did it for Jace Rongbow. It was a classy video, as you would expect. More R-Truth, Sherlock Holmes stupidity. All this was a setup for him saying that he found Teddy Long a job as the general manager of SmackDown. And Long said he was just fired from that job, and Truth said, that's what makes you the perfect candidate. And Long said there's something wrong with Truth. And I mean, these were awful. I didn't see anything redeeming about it. I mean, if you laugh because he was holding up a magnifying glass and his eye looked big, there was your laugh, I guess. What else about this was remotely entertaining or comical? I mean, it's just awful. Can't they just like do puppet shows for Vince McMahon backstage to get the big belly laugh or something and spare the rest of us? Jesus. Sixth match of the night, Big Show and the Great Khali destroyed Epico and Primo in a non-title match in 155. Cole plays up the storyline Twitter bit where Rosa was saying that her team deserves more television time and it's ridiculous they were in the dark match at WrestleMania and it's all for show. And so it's like they're punishing them for something they put her up to doing, apparently, because Cole was saying, well, she got her wish and look who she's got. It's Big Show and Khali. Now, maybe this goes somewhere. Maybe, you start to sympathize. Maybe we're supposed to eventually sympathize with Rosa and we find out it's John Laurinaitis that's screwing Epico and Primo over. But if that's the case, why isn't he doing it for the tag titles, I guess, would be my first question. I didn't care for it. This is your tag team champions. They don't need to lose clean. I know in the WWE world there's no shame in losing to two giants like Joe and Cole even, but, I mean, these are your WWE tag team champions. It's just unnecessary. If there's not some story to it, then I'm missing. Then why would you do this? I think they have more than they realize with the act. Epico and Primo are good in the ring. Rosa brings the sex appeal. There's no reason they can't do more with these guys can go in the ring and you find put them against the right babyface opponents and you can have a decent feud. Not saying it's going to headline pay per views, but. All this we heard it a couple of times now. Oh, they're going to revamp the tag division, and we're still waiting. Yeah, we see tag titles, and that's nice. And I actually like this act, the potential of this act, but not when you're going to squash them. I guess the only thing of note, AW, aka Abraham Washington, walked on the stage and was scouting this match, so he's still scouting. We'll see where that leads. The champions actually tried to run away, but Big Show grabbed them both and threw them back in the ring. Like, could you make these guys look any worse? I mean, hey, if they lose a competitive, a hard fought match, or, but even if I thought they're doing this to set up a rematch, and maybe they are, but I mean, even then I'd still be like, wow, you made it look, they just didn't even put up a fight. And they're not going to get some clean win back where they look just as dominant. Well, if they're setting up some kind of rematch, but I didn't get that idea at all. It was just they're burying these guys for God knows what reason, because Rosa tweeted something that they asked her to tweet. Maybe there's a story to it. We'll see. Then we got Jerry Lawler hyping the main event, commercial break, and then it was time for that main event. It was Lord Tensai defeating John Cena in an Extreme Rules match in about 10 minutes. I think I lost track of the time, so it was around the 10-minute mark, I believe. But, who saw this coming? I mean, had I been watching this live, I would have thought, maybe there's a chance they're going to have, play up the fact that Cena lost at Mania and he lost again here and do the Brock story. But I think, ultimately I just would have thought, they're going to make, Cena look like a badass because he fights and I would have wondered, aren't they going to bury this Tensai character? Just because I didn't expect Brock to run in because it was London and Brock doesn't like to travel. And I don't think he likes going from Minnesota to Chicago for Extreme Rules, let alone London. So, I just didn't see it happening. But the point is, I just would have assumed that something happened where it was a really fluky win for Tensai or something. And, he got a little run-in late from David Otunga that distracted Cena, or just distraction. and he used the miss, but the announcers quickly pointed out that it's legal. It's an Extreme Rules match, which kind of, you know, took away that, it's a cheap win feeling for me anyway. You can question whether Tensai's the guy to do it, but I will say this. If you're going to try to get something out of this guy, this is a huge step. You know, I mean, if they have confidence in him that, you know, this might work. Those meaningless squash matches weren't doing it. It was just kind of, you know, it was giving everyone a chance to look at the character, and frankly, the look is kind of bad. As I've been saying, he looks like a fat guy in a Mortal Kombat outfit. But when you see him in there going back and forth with John Cena and eventually beating him, you start to see him in a different light, don't you? I mean, I think that's the idea. Not everyone's going to, but, I mean, if they are really confident in the guy, that's what you do. Now, hey, don't get me wrong. A year or two from now, this could end up being one of those things that somebody points to on the video screen and everyone has a laugh about John Cena losing to Lord Tensai. The character could be destined for wrestle crap infamy. Who knows? But, you know, they obviously see something in this character. They're investing in it. And they, you know, they had him beat John Cena. Now we'll find out how serious they are about it in the coming weeks. Do we see Cena beat Tensai clean next week or shortly after Extreme Rules, something like that? We'll see. Is he the guy? You know, they seemed to be teasing it was going to be Punk versus Tensai coming up, with Laurinaitis talking about a natural disaster, which is what the Tensai symbol means, on the horizon for CM Punk. Maybe they flip-flop. Maybe, you know, Cena ends up with Jericho again or something. But it could be, you know, Cena feuds with Tensai at the house shows. And, you know, he can beat him there. Doesn't matter if he wins there, as far as I'm concerned. But as long as Tensai is protected on TV. And the reason I say that is because, well, you know, Brock's not doing a bunch of house shows. So Cena has to work with someone. If they think there's still life in Punk and Jericho, which right now there is, then, yeah, I think it makes sense. Give Cena an opponent, and it gives him one that now people have seen. This guy can beat John Cena. He's done it before. So I'm okay with it. And so, again, overall, I thought this was a pretty damn good edition of Raw, especially, you know, they don't always, some of the overseas stuff, we've seen some great matches. It seems to be those times where it's just like, now, let's just throw a really good match out there. Kind of not necessarily phone it in, but just not give you like not go all out to deliver just a knockout show in terms of delivering pay-per-view hype and everything. Now, this was just a good quality show. I enjoyed it. Yeah, there were things I didn't like, see the tag title situation and you know, some other things that I've already mentioned. But, hey, when you get two pretty good matches, you know, that opening match with Punk and Henry and Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston, and I think it's an interesting development with John Cena losing to Tensai. But that's, you know, three notable events on Raw, plus a good Brock Lesnar sit-down interview, UFC style, countdown special style that I really enjoyed. I think they, you know, they got me back engaged again after kind of really losing me as far as what they did last week with Brock Lesnar after that the cool pull apart brawl. So they got me a little more engaged in Punk and Jericho too. So good work by WWE tonight. Last night, I guess, by the time you're hearing this. I'm recording this very late on Monday, and I'm not going to wait for everything to upload tonight. So I'm just going to, if you're wondering why I keep talking about tonight, that's why. But it'll be up for you guys hopefully early tomorrow. I don't want to jinx myself and run into some technical issues, but that is the plan. So I guess you'll know by the time you hear this. But that is going to do it for me, at least for now. Join me on, later today at blogtalkradio.com for the PW Torch livecast, myself and Wade Keller taking your phone calls. So if you hear this audio and you're like, I couldn't disagree more with this idiot about Tensai or anything on this show, give us a call. You know, you don't have to call in and pat us on the back and tell us you like everything we hear or everything we say. You're more than welcome to call in and tell us you think we're nuts. Or me, or, you know, Wade, and, you know, whoever. Good back and forth debate's always a good time. So you're more than welcome to call that show. Find the call-in information at blogtalkradio.com. I'll have a listing up on the site at about 4 Central tomorrow. So if you forget about that, but you remember, oh, yeah, it's out there somewhere, look for it. About a half hour before the show starts, I'll have an ad up for you guys, as I usually do, kind of directing you to that page so you can listen live. And you can also listen anytime at blogtalkradio.com if you miss the show. It goes up the next day or something like that. The bonus portion of the show will be available to Torch and .NET members exclusively. And we've been known to go anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour and a half, just depending on what kind of week, you know, what kind of news is going on and what kind of topics are out there to discuss. Other than the live cast, members, this is all you're going to hear from me until next week at this time, because, I guess I'm thinking I'll record Monday night, but I am off from Wednesday and through Sunday. Going to take a little bit of a quick post-WrestleMania break. Chris Shore will be running things, holding down the fort. He did a great job when I took a little bit of time off in February, so I have no doubt that he'll do so again. So you guys are in good hands, and like I said, I'll be back. I'll be around all day Tuesday and back in the swing of things next week. So that's it for me. Thank you very much for listening. Take advantage of that .NET membership offer that I was telling you about, $5.50 if you take that annual option, or try it out for a month, $7.50. Details available at ProWrestling.net. Thank you very much. Take care.